Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Stories Worth Sharing. I'm your host, Clayton Terry, and it's been a while since I've posted on this feed, but I wanted to come here for a special Pride-themed episode. First off, happy Pride, everyone. I'm here with my boyfriend, Alfie Arduini, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Alfie Arduini. I am his boyfriend.
And we've been talking for a while now that we wanted to collaborate on some sort of project, and we felt like a good place to start would be a Pride episode that we could post here on the Stories We're Sharing feed. The question that had been kind of ruminating for both of us was, what exactly does Pride mean? What does it mean to us? What does it mean in culture? And what does it mean to our friends and family and loved ones? So that's going to be the conversation we're going to have, kind of answer that question for both of us. And then also, we've had the chance to interview a bunch of friends and family and loved ones over the last month or so and get their perspective of what Pride means to them. So I'm really excited for you to hear all of those different conversations. Some of them Alfie and I are together, some of them are led by myself, some Alfie, and then people also sent in voice memos, just kind of giving their perspective in that way. So I'm very excited for you to listen to everything. But like I mentioned, first we're gonna dive into the questions ourselves. So Alfie, maybe I'll let you start. We can have you introduce yourself the same way we made all of our guests introduce ourselves, with your name, pronouns, and how you identify in the LGBTQ plus community. And the question is, what does Pride mean to you?
Hi, my name's Alfred Arduini. My pronouns are he, him, and I identify as a gay man in the LGBTQI plus community.
And what does Pride mean to you?
When I think about Pride, I think about all the different Pride festivals, different ways that parts of the community is celebrated throughout the month, such as going to drag shows or going to Pride themed events throughout the month and making sure that you're active in the community even outside of Pride Month.
Pride Month is every month when you're gay, baby.
There's no stopping Pride Month every Pride Month. Yes, you're right. Every month is Pride Month.
And what kind of brought you to that sort of a conclusion?
I think mostly because I feel like a lot of times we stand up during that month and make it so that we're here and we're known that we're here. But I like to think that we should definitely continue it each month and make sure that they know that we're here every month, not just Pride Month.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Pride is a month or an event once a year where you go get sunburned and dress and drag and have all the rainbow stuff like we just did, but it's also a mindset and a community and all of that tied together year round.
Yeah, and definitely just because corporations think that they throw the rainbow flag on their logo each month, that it's just for that month. It should be every month, all year, every year, all around.
Definitely. We actually just got back from the CNY Pride Festival. You might be able to deduce when we're recording this, but I'm curious, because this was your first in-person Pride event, correct?
First Pride event completely. Never went to like a virtual one or anything like that. So very first Pride event.
Awesome. And how do you think that experience ties into your definition of Pride?
I think it opened my eyes up more to the different branches that Pride means to other people, especially with doing this podcast and interviewing people. I felt like I had my eyes open already, but I feel like they were opened even more after seeing it at the Pride Festival and then also talking to people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like that display of community is a really powerful force for sure.
Yeah, and definitely making sure that even if one of us is under attack, that means that all of us are under attack.
Yeah.
We want to stay as a community, not as individuals. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that actually transitions really nicely into how I sort of view Pride. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Maybe it's unfair because I've got to have a bunch of conversations with you and then all of our lovely guests. But the answer I've come to, and this is not exactly set in stone, at like everything in the LGBTQ plus community. It's fluid.
Oh, definitely.
But for me, pride is resistance plus joy, right? So I always think about when Pride Month begins, how the gay rights movement came out of a protest against police brutality, right? And people had obviously been fighting before Stonewall, but this episode is coming out on the 53rd anniversary of Stonewall. And I think that is a uprising that I always have in the back of my mind during Pride. And it feeds in really nicely with seemingly every year there's some political climate that is oppressive and trying to take away the rights of not only us queer folk, but also our allies and our loved ones and other marginalized people that are in this fight. So, for example, this month, obviously, a lot of, or I guess today specifically, a lot of people on their mind is the Roe v. Wade decision that came out. And I think it was really powerful for me, at least, to see all the protest signs and bans off our bodies and all the ways people were expressing their rage and their resistance at this Pride celebration, right? Because all of the rights that we have today came out of basically us standing up for ourselves, because I don't think corporations or governments or whoever it might be just naturally want to look out for us. Like, we have to fight for that, and it can be very tiring, and I think a lot of people are tired right now, but I think that's an important, incredibly important aspect of it. And then on top of that, you have the joy side, where obviously this is a opportunity to celebrate ourselves and our identities and our love for one another, right? Like, you talked about community and how you kind of feel that when you're at these Pride events or this Pride event. And I've felt that interviewing all these people, right? Like, some of them have a story very different than mine and face very different struggles. But I think because we all are under this umbrella, there is that level of community.
I would say that my question is, do you feel like, we heard some people say that there's been a bigger turnout this year than a few years back, for at least where we were, for Pride and everything. Do you think that with everything going on with the Supreme Court's decision, that you think that that heavily affected people coming out for Pride?
Oh, definitely, right? I think it was, like we're kind of talking about, I think it was a reminder that, like, none of these things are a given, you know? Progress does not naturally happen. It happens because we make it happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, as some of the justices have made clear, like, they're talking about how this is an opportunity to open the door to ban same-sex marriage and basically come for other rights that we experience. And unfortunately, it's our responsibility to kind of stand up and fight that. And I think a lot of people were feeling that calling this week. So it was, in some ways, it's sad to see, because it's like, we're all tired of this fight. All these fights, but in other ways it's uplifting, because we're all in this together, you know?
Yeah, and thinking about it in that way, it shows that if you start letting up on going to Pride events or standing for what you believe in, it shows that they will find a way to try to backtrack progress for some reason. You never know when they're going to decide, hey, they're going to overturn something that they shouldn't even touch anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it just heavily influences that, even if the fight seems over, at least with how this country is, you have to continue to fight, which is a lot at times, but...
Yeah, like, I think corporations posting, like, Pride posts, as frustrating as that can be for a lot of us in the community, like, that was not inevitable, and it is not guaranteed. Later, they're doing it right now because more people agree with that than don't, but that could change, you know, if we don't continue to make ourselves visible, you know, every year, every day, honestly, like we try and do in Pride and then elsewhere.
It also shows that they are more concerned about the profit that they're making from Pride Month rather than actually supporting, since once July 1st hits, everybody knows that there goes all of the pride stuff that they pushed out or that they stood for.
Yeah.
And it kind of just shows that it's a blank stare back at you being, I support you, but only until that clock hits midnight.
Yeah. I support you when it's advantageous for me.
Honestly.
That being said, and this is kind of a precursor conversation to a lot of the conversations that you're going to hear, actually, because corporatization, I mean, it's on all of our minds when it comes to pride. I do want to remember the employees that work at these corporations and them wanting to express themselves and do it through work, I think is valid, you know? Like, I don't think Amazon or whatever company you might pick is an ally or a community member, but I think the people that work there, a lot of them are. And although it can be challenging sometimes trying to bring all these intersectional groups together, it's also important that everyone feels included, as long as they're respecting, you know, the fight and the history of pride.
Yeah, they just have to make sure that they're doing it because they care at the end of the day, not because they think that it's popular opinion or a way to profit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some places that even I have definitely worked at that you can tell that it's a family dynamic where they're like, we accept you for you, not for what you offer us in the first.
Yeah. Accepting, you know, the whole person and all of the beautiful things that come with that and challenging things.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, you got to hear our perspective a little bit as we open up the podcast, but please stick around and listen to all the amazing people we got to chat with over the last month and their perspectives on what Pride means to them. It was a lot of really, really great conversations.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Sunny. My pronouns are they, them, and I identify as transgender and non-binary.
Great. And what does Pride mean to you?
To me, Pride means freedom, like the freedom to be yourself, the freedom to, you know, have your experience of life be true to you. It means authenticity, being authentic to who you are, and self-respect, having the self-respect to not deal with things that you don't necessarily have to let go of people or things that you can let go of. Yeah, so it means a lot of things, a lot of different things to me.
I like that. What kind of brought you to that sort of a definition?
I think I spent a lot of time not really allowing myself to fully be myself. And a lot of that, I think, was kind of subconscious, not exactly something that I was purposefully doing, but something kind of hidden in the background. But I think over time, as I kind of gained confidence and sort of just grew up in general, I kind of learned, you know, things that I think everybody learns, but the context is a little different, I think, when you are LGBT. It's a little more, there's more context to it. So I think just the experience of growing up in general and gaining confidence that way kind of colored my perception of that side of me as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like all young people kind of have that, oh, well, there's always some sort of veneer over me, like some layer kind of protecting me and protecting my true self. But I think with queer people, right, like it's definitely amplified one extra degree. I don't know if that's from like cultural conditioning or like you talk about just like subconscious stuff, but I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that I think it's definitely a lot of cultural stuff, because I mean, ever since we're really little, we're kind of bombarded with this very strict narrative of how things are in the world. And even if you know from a young age that you don't necessarily fit in that narrative, you might not know how you don't fit into that narrative. You might just, you know, repurpose it for something else.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like there's sort of a desire to like fit into a box, right? And even I imagine, obviously, with like the existing like heteronormative culture, but even within the LGBTQ plus community, yeah, it can be challenging for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can have assumptions about yourself that are sort of right, but not really. And you can have like some serious cognitive dissonance. Like I remember as a kid, I would write in a journal a lot. And I was reading back my journal a few years ago and I had to laugh because in one of the in one entry, I was talking about how like some people were assuming this is like middle school. I was like, oh, some people are like thinking that I'm gay. I don't understand how they can think that I'm like super straight and this. And literally like the next entry, which was like a day later, was talking about how I had like such a crush on my female friend and like this. And I'm like, how could I? So like even if it's super obvious, like cognitive dissonance can really do a number on you, I think.
100%. Yeah, I remember. Like in middle school, it was always like, I didn't think I had crushes on guys. It was just like, man, I really want to be that guy's best friend. And you think about like, when do our schedules line up? Like, oh, we have math together, you know? And it's like, maybe this is my chance to become his friend. It's
yeah.
Like you look back either from memories or journal entries years later, and it's like, wow, it felt like it should have been so obvious to me.
Yeah. It's funny because on the other side, it does feel obvious, but at the time, you really have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I don't think culture gives us the language necessarily to process those feelings always.
No, definitely not. It could be hard, and it can be hard, especially with gender, at least for me, because like since I'm non-binary, so I'm not, you know, I don't. It's my gender is pretty complicated, but the very basic is I don't identify exclusively as male or female. And like when I was like a little kid, I think I kind of sort of just conceptualized myself as male, but it didn't really come out that way. Like I would identify more with like male characters in shows, or like I think my thinking was like I already kind of knew that I liked girls and I liked women, but I wasn't fully accepting that yet. So I kind of internalize it as, well, I'm male, even though that's not true either. So it can definitely get, like, really twisty and, like, really kind of just, like, especially when you have overlapping identities. I think that's where things can get really confusing for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I guess, where do you find yourself now in that journey of, like, self-acceptance and pride and all of that? Because I think, right, for me, sometimes there are days where I'm like, yeah, pride, that's like something for me to strive towards, right? Is like feeling prideful and like truly self-accepting. And then there are other days where I do feel that. And I'm just curious if that's kind of a similar dynamic that you feel either on the gender or sexual orientation spectrum.
Yeah, I think right now I feel like I respect myself and I accept myself. But I think what was holding me back in the past was this idea. I mean, when I was super young, I had no clue what was going on. But then when I, like, got older and I was thinking, well, maybe I'm this, maybe I'm this, something that I really got hung up on, I think, was the idea that I had to find, like, a very specific, rigid identity that, and, like, that has to be, like, me 100%. I really attached myself to the lesbian identity for a really long time. And even when I was feeling like that might not be 100% accurate, I felt kind of afraid to leave that because at that point I felt like that was my identity. And like that was the people that I was surrounding myself in. That was my community. So it felt like it would be like leaving something or losing something by identifying out of that. But I think at a certain point I was like, well, I might be this or I might not be this, but I needed to give myself that permission to let go. And I think choosing to let go of the idea that I had to have this like rigid static label was really good for me. That let me like explore myself a little more. So like I have now, I just say like I'm non-binary and I don't really label my sexuality because most sexuality labels are kind of defined by your own gender. So
yeah,
I just leave that alone and I'm okay with that now. I think letting go of the thought that I really had to have this like static stringent label that was holding me back. So now I feel more free to kind of just focus more on how I want to present, how I see myself, how I want people to see me, how I want people to refer to me. Focusing on these more tangible things, like how I want to present, things that I can... Focusing on the more tangible things is a lot more helpful to me now than trying to focus on, like, what's, like, my secret identity on the inside, which is really a floaty concept that's hard to grasp.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely kind of embracing the gray area, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I guess when it comes to being non-binary specifically, I think a lot of people know what being transgender means. And I feel like some this is just my opinion. Every trans person, every non-binary person has their own opinion on stuff like this. But for me, being non-binary is being trans. Like, to me, they're the same thing. I feel like non-binary identities can sort of be misunderstood a little bit because it doesn't just mean one thing. It means something different, you know, to every non-binary person out there, basically. So I guess it's about seeing that as like a category rather than like one thing. I guess that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, thank you very much for being on, Sunny. It was great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Clayton.
Hello, my name is Jared Russell. My pronouns are he, him, and I identify as a gay man.
So what does pride mean to you?
I've been thinking about that question for a little bit, kind of, you know, what pride means to me, because, you know, I've only been out since, you know, my freshman year of college, and that was like 2019-ish, like the tail end of like fall 2019. And so it's been like a strange ride in terms of just being like, you know, proud of who I am, because, you know, there was a lot of like, you know, I grew up in a very small town, so, you know, coming through it, I was really like, you know, ashamed of that big part of me. And, you know, I've just been thinking about it, you know, what does pride mean to me? And obviously, you know, it's important, but I never understood, like, you know, just the weight of, you know, that word, you know, pride or whatever. So I guess, you know, right now it's more just, you know, being more comfortable with, you know, this part of me that, you know, is sometimes not really accepted initially. And I've never really participated in like pride activities, but it's an interesting realm. It's, you know, and it's very personal too, because, you know, this part of me is, you know, very, it's private, but it's also, you know, widely talked about and everyone has all these opinions, but I think it's important. It's a part of everyone, you know, a sense of pride, you know, being comfortable with yourself. So yeah, I think my answer is I don't really have an answer, and I think that's, you know, where I'm at this point in time, and I think that's okay to, you know, to be unsure of what this is and what this means, and it's a personal thing, so, you know, I guess I can't blame myself.
Yeah, definitely. I think like pride is the rainbow flags and assless chaps at a parade in downtown, but it's also like the quieter moments, I think, for us LGBTQ people, either our own like introspection or our identities among like small groups of close friends and family. Like pride encapsulates all of that, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I also think that's, you know, part of the kind of the beauty of this community is like, you know, it's such like a large spectrum of just identities and just like all these other things. And I think that's like the point of pride, is to, you know, kind of make aware of like, you know, everyone, to, you know, just the grand scope of it all, and kind of just, you know, make it normal, because we all fall on, you know, the spectrum of some sort of, you know, identification. And so just, you know, bringing light to, you know, those identities is important, because, you know, that's what pride is, you know. And I think back to, you know, where did it come from, you know, where did it originate from? And it started with Stonewall, and, you know, just them making it visible. And originally in Stonewall, you know, the Stonewall Inn, it was, you know, just normal for the bar to be raided every night. You know, everyone would just like, you know, get out, there would be, you know, checks, whatever, and everyone would go home or whatever, or continue dancing. But when, you know, the riots first happened, that's when they stood up, and the cops were confused. They were like, you know, all these people, they usually just go home. They're usually just afraid. And then they really just stood their ground. And I think that's, you know, that's the point. It's just like, we're kind of, you know, being like, we're here, you know, this is a symbolic representation of just like, you know, it's, this, we're like, we exist, we're here, we've always been here, and we're not gonna leave. And so I don't know, just talking about it, I'm just, you know, getting kind of excited, and, you know, I'm just like glad I'm a part of this community, and that, you know, I've come to the point where I can appreciate this. But, you know,
definitely. Yeah, I think that's really well said. And yeah, whenever I think back to like those moments that kind of sparked the like this movement that we're still in the middle of, we've made a lot of progress, but I would say we still have a long ways to go at definitely like fills me with excitement and some emotions for sure. It sounds like you're kind of in the middle of your journey right now, and I'm curious where you see your journey going in maybe the next couple years, as it sounds like pride and your identity are like continuing to shift. And I'm just curious, maybe if you want to talk a little bit more about like where you've been and where you see yourself going.
You know, so sometimes I'm just, you know, I wonder like, oh, where could I go? And it seems very, you know, ethereal. And I think because I am pretty stuck in just like, you know, what happened, where I've been, because, you know, because where I've been is, you know, partly tied to, you know, where I grew up and, you know, the people I grew up around and, you know, coming to terms with my, you know, my sexuality. And that really entails like, you know, this small town and its, you know, view and of, you know, that identity being very negative, you know, being like, you know, people like people don't act like that, or people don't like that, people's so rare. And I like even like would say to myself like, no, this can't happen to me, like, because people who are gay are just like, you know, treated differently. And I was like, I was just so afraid of that. And then, you know, I just grew up with that just fear. And so I guess, you know, I'm just like, where my journey is going is like letting go of that. Just like, there's nothing to be afraid of, you know, it's been okay this whole time. Mm-hmm. And I think where I want to go and where I want to be is, you know, is be there for, you know, someone else, like some other kids in like high school who are just like, I don't know what's going on. And I just, you know, want to be there for them and be like, no, this is 100% like, okay. And like, I, you know, I'd just love to, you know, help someone out. And I think the first place to do that is to help myself, you know, recover from the trauma of growing up and, you know, being like, I'm not okay. Fundamentally, there's something wrong with me. And so I think first, take care of myself. And second, I really want to go to like a pride event, like a parade or something, and just like wave my flag and just scream. And so if that happened, I'd know I'd you know, get there.
Awesome. Well, highly recommend it. Pride events are a lot of fun, and they can look like however you want them to look, but it's definitely all about joy and acceptance and whatnot. And I think a big part of kind of like what you're talking about of helping others, you're totally right. Of like, first it's about helping yourself and accepting yourself, and then even just as simple as like telling your story and breaking that generational trauma that like we have of like, oh, there's an element of this that shouldn't be accepted, or this is different. Like, breaking that, it feels like a small thing, but I think it's one of the more difficult things, but then also one of the more important things that each generation does, and as things get easier and easier.
Yeah. And I always think, and it's so funny, RuPaul always says, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you gonna love somebody else? And I'm like, damn, she's right. She's so right. So I'm curious about like your story. I wonder, you know, how much we have in like common, just based on, you know, this one simple identifying factor that we, you know, we both share, is like, it was there any part of, you know, my little brief story that you were just like, oh yes, me too, like it was like, you know, very universal?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I see a lot of myself in your story as you were talking about it. Like, I came out my third year of college, I believe. Oof. Yeah, so probably around the same time as you, honestly. It was like 2019, I'd say. And I think like it took a long time for me to accept that I was gay. I never like thought there was anything wrong with it, because me and my brothers were raised by two moms, but it still felt like, oh, but that's other people that are like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it took me till like senior year of high school to accept it in myself, and then a couple more years to start like sharing it openly. But I totally remember being like, oh, it'd be nice to just go to a pride festival and be able to wave my flag and whatnot. And, that's something I've been able to do over the last like couple years. I mean, obviously the pandemic threw a little wrench in that, but yeah. I've been to one before and then hope to go to one this year. And it's coming to accept that pride involves being prideful in this identity on a day-to-day basis, because it's easy to say that you are, but actually like internalizing it can be different. And I don't think anyone does it 100% of the time, but I'm getting closer and closer to that each day, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So funny that you say like oh, I had two moms, should have been easy, because that happened to me too. My mom and my stepmom at the time, they were together for 7 years, and I was like, it was just easy to come out to them, because like, obviously, like, duh. But I just couldn't. Yeah. I can't. It's like a bullet. I just like could not bite. And I was just like, and my boyfriend at the time, he was just like he was gonna come over, and he was like, you have to tell them. And he pushed me to do that, and I'm kind of glad that he did. And yeah. And it was so easy, and they were like, ugh, we knew. I was like, I know. Everyone knew. Everyone knew before I did. It was just so funny. Kind of, you know, a lot of my like mental health problems that kind of, you know, came about like during high school and even afterwards, it was like because of, you know, the trauma of like being in the closet. And I didn't realize that it was a thing until, you know, I would like went to therapy, and like I kind of just like accidentally just spilled everything to my therapist. and all she said was like, damn, that must have been hard. And just her just validating like, you know, it was tough. I was like, yes, it was hard. Just in that moment, and just accepting that, like, you know, kind of trauma, I was just like, okay, you know, this is where it begins, of just, you know, that it was a problem, and, you know, I got through it in, you know, in the way that I had to, in the you know, the time that I had, in the place that I was at. So I don't know, it's like bittersweet, because it's just like I didn't know what I was doing, and now I do. And so I look back and I'm like, I could have done so much different, but, you know, I didn't, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's definitely okay, because I think straight culture and then also, like, media assume that the only thing that's hard about being gay is, like, the ultra-homophobic people in, like, Alabama and, like, the people that'll actively, like, say slurs and whatnot. And I think over the last decade, there's been a lot more nuance and realize that there's aspects of it, of like being queer and identifying in some like non-heteronormative way, that are difficult, that aren't like as outward as something like horrible bigotry are, you know. And I think, because I got the same thing, like it should have been easy coming out to two moms, like they get it, but there are aspects of like sharing your identity that even two people who have that identity can be difficult, you know. And I think there are aspects that are still difficult about it, and that people have to work through on their own time.
Exactly. It's like, it's the little things, you know. I've like the first week that I got home from school, I was in a pizzeria, and this kid, I don't even know what he said. It was just so stupid. And he was just like, oh, like, if whatever, whatever, that means you're gay, but you're not gay, so that's fine. And I was like, and I like looked at him, I was like, huh? And he was like, oh, I'm joking. And I was like, that's pretty funny. And he like reacted weirdly. And I was just like, I just felt so uncomfortable. And it's just like, it has never happened to me before. And, you know, where I was just like, this is not cool, man. And
yeah.
And it would just happen so much in high school. Like, you know, there was guys who would just like write stuff on the walls. It was like, no homo or whatever, or it was terrible. And I just, you know, that was just more proof. I was like, I can't come out, like, you know, because shit like this happens. And yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah. But I think a big part of pride is acknowledging that stuff exists and is difficult, and like going to therapy and talking about your story with like friends and family and whatnot, but still moving through it, and self-love, maybe not every day, but over the scale of a lifetime, loving yourself, you know.
Yeah, because I don't like dwelling in that, you know, that bad stuff of just like, oh, this is, you know, there's so much bad in the world, because when, you know, you focus on that it becomes like, just, you know, your reality is just like all this, you know, negativity. And so it's really like, okay, how do I move forward with this, you know? How do I keep a level head and, you know, be objective about it? Because, you know, a lot of what happened in that situation, I could have done differently. I could have, you know, controlled what I could personally control. And so just thinking about what happened doesn't really, you know, serve the situation. Yeah,
thank you very much, Jared, for coming on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
Yes, thank you too. I've just only recently loved talking about this stuff, and I feel like I annoy people, because I'm just like, you know, either repeat myself or whatever, or just like ramble. But no, this is this is important. I know it's important. And, you know, that's why, you know, I wanted to do this because, you know, I'm feeling prideful. I'm feeling good. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it definitely means a lot. So, mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you.
Hi. So my name is Kaylee Campbell. My pronouns are she, her, sometimes she, they, but I don't use those all the time. I suspect we'll talk about that a little bit. I have changed how I identify in the community a couple times over the years, which I think is a cool thing that people can do over time. Right now, I just go with queer. For a while, I was hyper online, so I was trying to find just the exact right label. And then I gave up, so I prefer queer.
And what does pride mean to you?
To me, pride is about the history of it all. Pride, as a queer person, is about having a time and space to celebrate with the community. And it's actively a struggle not to let it become as corporate as possible and to make sure we remember the radical roots of it. But those are the most important parts to me. And the fact that, I mean, people, part of the reason people make fun of LGBTQIAP2+S, the whole acronym, I think, can be like 20 some odd letters, is because they don't understand it, slash it's a really big tent, and it's hard to understand the relation of all those letters to each other. So I appreciate that there is a month in which we kind of all can get together, slash remind each other why we are all in solidarity together.
Definitely. I love that. And what brought you to that sort of a definition?
I come from a history background. I studied history and politics for a while, so I learned about the political aspects first before I even realized I was queer to begin with. I was learning about Stonewall and the movement because I think when I was in high school or college, I was watching a lot of the movement for gay marriage and trying to understand the context of it being about so much more than just like having pretty wedding pictures and having actual rights in legal rights in this country. And so I started with that. And then I realized I was queer. And then I started studying history and starting a career in politics more earnestly. So yeah, it all kind of coalesced in that way. And I have friends that I think come from different backgrounds and face different struggles with gender and sexuality than I do. So that's why I enjoy how broad pride and the community can be.
I love that. One question that I thought of kind of when you were talking at the beginning is you mentioned that you use the identifier queer, and that's something that I've come to really appreciate, just how broad it is. And yeah, I guess I'm curious if you have any comments or things about that, because I feel like that's maybe something that's a more recent development, right? Like like you mentioned, like that's a very online term, I feel like, nowadays, but it's something I think the younger people have attached themselves to a bit.
Yeah, and I totally understand some of our queer elders, which is like another term that the internet has made me cringe at a little bit, but it is a good term. It has its place. I totally understand people who do not support it. Like, it's very real that people have had it used against them, and I understand why they would not be in favor of it. I like its radical roots. Again, I like that of all the different terms that I've thrown around, like I've looked at sexuality and gender and then like the spectrum of romanticism from like Arrow all the way to, I guess, would just be not Arrow. Yeah, the gray sexual spectrum is what I'm trying to say. And the more terms that I started to collect, the more I was like, this is too, I understand why people want a specific term, because they want to finally have words for something that they've felt but haven't been able to name. But for me personally, I wanted to feel part of the broad community. Yeah, I wanted to connect with essentially people who are not heterosexual or cis. So I'm good with queer. And then the other selfish part is also like with all those questions that you encounter over time, like looking at sexuality and gender, is if I just say queer, I don't have to explain anything. So I don't have to go yeah. into a monologue or diatribe about like exactly how I feel about sexuality or gender. It's just like, it's just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know for me, like a big part of pride is like, kind of like you're talking about, is not having to explain ourselves to people that don't belong to this community, you know, and just having these identifiers and using them as much as we need them for our own self-actualization. And if none of them appeal to you, then, but you still are a part of the community, that's great. Or if you like latch onto one or prefer like the more broad terms. Yeah, I like that inclusivity.
Yeah. And jumping off of that, I think an extension of using queer is like, if people come into the community, if someone is gay, if someone is batting around the idea of if they're trans or not, you can come in. And I totally understand that we're not all like scholars. We haven't read tons and tons of queer theory necessarily. And what I like about queer is that it reminds me, you don't have to understand the entire community, but you are still all in community together. Like, you still have something in common regardless. So even if there's parts of the community that I don't have any base of knowledge about, like, I still would like to go to bat for them. And I feel like pride really symbolizes that.
Definitely.
Following up with that, so would you say that identifying as queer could be like a good stepping stone into like figuring out like that you identify as trans or you identify as another more specific term kind of thing? Or would it just be if you identify with more than one?
Yeah, I think it's a good enough catch-all. Like, if myself or a person picked a label, you know, like I am this sexuality, this gender, whatever, and you're introducing yourself to people and you're using it to describe yourself, if it starts to feel like that doesn't fit necessarily, I think that's why queer is a good, it's good, it can bridge that gap, you know? So like I said, yeah, part of the reason I like it is because I don't know the answers to all the questions, so I just use it so I don't have to like launch into that with every person, you know?
Yeah, I see that because I'm very like not knowing that much about when it comes to queer and stuff, like identifying as queer and everything. So it's just nice to hear more about it.
Yeah, definitely. It reminds me of even like 10 years ago, LGBTQ, people saying Q stands for queer or questioning. It's a nice letter to have there for those people who say, oh, I'm starting to come out to these things, because it makes it ambiguous enough that people can dip their toe in without fully committing to something that feels big and scary before they actually have any grasp on it.
Mm. Yeah, I actually didn't know the Q could also be questioning until I like made a bulletin board when I was a resident advisor, and I was like, oh, that, I really like that. I had no idea. So yeah, it's kind of a good catch-all term, both queer and then also the Q in LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where that fully comes from. It's kind of like the battle over the A, right? Because people who may not know as much / may not be queer assume that it stands for ally, but in the community, like, it's asexual, it's airways, it's whatever, many things that are actually part of the community, not ally. But
yeah,
I don't want to invalidate any of the identities of like A or Q in the acronym. I'm just glad people have that as cover to kind of make their way in, like I was saying.
Yeah.
This is the first Pride post-pandemic, right? So it's been a few years since I've been able to be at one or even just like feel safe going out and connecting with other queer people. And I've definitely felt the effects of that online as I engage with younger media. Like, I'm definitely a TikTok addict. But it is a very harsh reminder sometimes of like, people online can be talking about queer issues and they can be 13 or they can be 30. And yeah, I am hoping that, I mean, we're not old by any means. I'm not old by any means, but I'm hoping younger people will go to these things in person and actually talk to people and meet others, because we can quibble online all we want about terms, but it's not practical in real life. And it feels a lot better to be queer out in community than it does to be online fighting with other queer people about what we should or shouldn't be doing or saying.
Awesome. So all the queer people listening, go to Pride. This is probably coming out towards the end of Pride, but make your own Pride. Do something, because, yeah, the in-person events are pretty amazing. And I feel the same way I feel about, like, protests in general, where I just read news stories and interacting with people virtually, and you just, like, get so bogged down. And then, like, I go to a protest that's happening downtown for whatever reason it might be, and it just, like, reinvigorates you. So, like, Pride is a good example of that for LGBTQ people, I think.
Agreed. Another important piece of Pride, another important piece of the community in general, is being aware of the way whiteness can work in these spaces and at these events especially. So part of being in community with each other also means actually being in community with each other and not being siloed off or even unintentionally exclusionary. Like, everyone in the queer community knows what it feels like to not be on the inside and should work doubly hard to make sure that we're not doing it to anyone at our own events and in our own spaces. So yeah, investigating that work. If you're cis, investigating gender and being sensitive to trans issues. And if you're white, being sensitive to the cross-section of racism and queerness and the specific ways that people of color have to face that. Yeah, I just want all our spaces to be safe for all of us, you know?
Definitely. And yeah, I think that's a really good point. Like, we're all on the same team here. We all have the same systems of oppression that are working against us, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And almost kind of like how you said, we know the feeling of being left out, and to kind of do that to people who should be rejoicing and, like, joining in with us because they share the same thing in common. Mm-hmm. Why exclude them because of something that shouldn't mean anything at that point? Or yeah, shouldn't mean as the way it's being portrayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I feel like I've talked too much. I appreciate this, though.
No, you're fine. Well, thank you, Kaylee, very much for coming on and giving us some history. I really appreciated this conversation.
Hi, I am Aaron Shapiro. I am on the LGBTQIA+ spectrum. I identify as pansexual. I go by he, him pronouns. And I believe the question today is what Pride means to me. So I guess I would just say I don't have too much of, you know, a super concrete answer, but I guess it's, to me, it's just being yourself for yourself's sake, if that makes sense. Not putting on anything other than what is truly yourself for anyone else's benefit. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. Can you explain the second part about that a little bit more? Because I feel like I hear a lot of it's about being yourself, but I kind of like the being yourself for yourself's sake. So can you speak a little more to that?
I just feel like, you know, especially people in groups like the LGBTQ group, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, we have to sort of alter ourselves or our personalities or our identities based on who we're talking to, or, you know, what generation the person we're talking to is from, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that Pride to me is a lack of that, is no matter who you're talking to, no matter whether it's a professor or it's your grandmother or your boss or your best friend, that there's nothing that really changes in terms of, you know, who you are and how you present yourself and who you choose to, how you choose to dress and how you choose to look and how masculine you're choosing to be or how feminine you're choosing to be. I think Pride is just not considering anyone else in that decision and only considering what you want to do and how you feel, you know, your most true self.
Definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of marginalized groups, but including LGBTQ+ people, we have to or at least we feel like we have to sometimes like code switch, because is this a safe space? I definitely see where you're coming from. I like that.
Cool. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, the code switching is that was the word I was trying to think of that I couldn't I couldn't come to mind. But yeah, that's I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just the lack of feeling like you need to do any kind of code switching.
Mm-hmm. What kind of journey did you go on to come to this sort of definition?
So, yeah, I mean, I grew up in a Jewish household that, you know, my parents weren't super conservative or super religious or anything like that, but, you know, definitely, you know, very loving parents, but sort of right-leaning parents. However, I did actually come out to them in fifth grade. My journey started pretty young.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually the summer after fifth grade. On the 4th of July, I put a note underneath one of my parents' pillows. And basically, at the time, you know, there wasn't as much nuance. Just being 2011, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was that long ago, there wasn't as much detail and nuance. Also, just being a fifth grader, you know, not having a lot of knowledge. So I didn't really know what bisexuality or pansexuality was. So I just came out as gay, because I knew, you know, that I had interest in men, and I didn't know that there was really anything but straight or gay, you know. So I actually came out to my parents in fifth grade as gay, and then the very first thing that they both said, you know, they sat me down, they said, listen, you know, we don't care, we'll still love you, you know, nothing's gonna change, you're still just our son, whatever. But I think beyond that, they didn't really know how to interact with me about her. They didn't know what kind of questions to ask me. So they did actually sign me up for therapy, which, you know, I don't think was the worst thing in the world, but it certainly wasn't something that I had asked for. And it's something that at the time I didn't really think I needed. I think that was, you know, to be honest, I think the therapy that I went to was more for their sake than mine. But, you know, we didn't really talk, you know, beyond that, we didn't talk too much about it until eventually I got a girlfriend in whatever, eighth or ninth grade at that point. And then so that I think that sort of in my parents' view, like it was, you know, as they say, just a phase, because, you know, I told them I was gay and then we didn't talk about it any further. And then I had a girlfriend. And it's been a pretty long journey since then. I've honestly at this point been, you know, romantically involved with about an equal number of all ends of the spectrum, whether it be males, females, non-binary persons, or gender fluid, anything like that. So that is why I do consider myself pansexual at this point, as opposed to bisexual. I just feel like it's a more comprehensive term. I feel like it does a better job describing exactly my, you know, preference and a lot of people's preference. Obviously, coming to college was a very, very positive experience, especially going to a liberal arts college in Western New York. It was a very welcoming environment. It was definitely, in terms of LGBT people, it was the most welcoming environment that I had ever been in. It was the highest concentration of LGBT people that I had, you know, really been able to hang out with at one time. Since I came out, I've really only gone up, you know, in terms of, you know, my comfort and the people that I choose to hang out with. So yeah, it's been a really, honestly, it's been a wonderful, whatever it is now, 10 or 11 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, fifth grade, that's amazing that you knew yourself well enough at that young of an age. I mean, you didn't have the exact words for it, but I also feel like, did the term pansexual even exist in the mainstream or at all yet? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just wanted to thank you very much for having me on. This is very cool. I haven't had a lot of opportunity. I've been a musician for a very long time, so there's a community of musicians that I've been very lucky to have such an integrated sort of central part in around where I live. But the LGBT community, which I also am, of course, part of, I just haven't really been able to, you know, interact with as many people as I would like and, you know, get as many perspectives as I would like. So I'm really excited to have this opportunity to come on and just talk about my experience being in that community.
Likewise, yeah. And thank you so much for sharing your perspective and being vulnerable. It was great to have you on, Aaron.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, Clayton. I appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Kira. My pronouns are they, them, and I am someone who's non-binary and bisexual, which feels a little funny to say because I want to get beyond a binary, but then I identify as bi. So the question, what does pride mean to me? And, you know, that's I think like most people that's changed over the years. When I was younger, I thought pride was about being able to say proudly who you are and have a very clear kind of introduction, you know? And I do think that there's a part of it and that pride is not only about being open about who you are as you please, you know, as one pleases, but it's about, you know, the communities of care we create with each other. It's like pride for me is it's about the care and love. Like, we talk about needing to address homophobia and racism and all these things, and I think pride is about addressing these things not only with a certain care of who we are and how we speak, but a care of that we want to be there for each other, and it's the solidarity we show each other and to our own selves in some ways to say that, you know, we have to not only reject the practices and systems that tell us that we should be ashamed or we should never speak out for what is right or for ourselves and our well-being, but it's to say, I can not only speak out for my own well-being and who I am, but I know how I must support my fellows. So that's what pride means for me.
Michael Martin. Pronoun him, as a gay male.
My name is Tim. I use he, him pronouns. I identify as gay or queer.
And what does pride mean to you both?
So I have a lengthy bulleted list.
Oh, I love it.
I love pride because it's about history. It's about personal history. It's about group history, connection to ancestor. It's a huge queer space. There's relative safety. If you're walking behind the guys who are riding tricycles and diapers, love them, great for them. It's not weird to hold hands with someone. You're not attracting attention right now. Mm-hmm. Love it as, you know, kind of a regrouping, a state of the union. How are things and what do we need to be doing in the next year? Celebrating just all different kinds of love, romantic and, you know, the community that I've been able to build around myself. Mm-hmm. Reclaiming of all the things we've been condemned for. You know, Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence talk about expiating stigmatic guilt, and I love that, and I mm-hmm. see a lot of that in pride.
Oh, all right. Well, I just have down here that the pride for me is a dedicated time and space to reflect on our shared history. Mm-hmm. It's a time to recognize and pay homage to those who came before us and those who fought tirelessly for the extension of human rights to the LGBTQ plus community. It's also an acknowledgement that the fight continues mm-hmm. and the handing of the baton of activism to a new generation. And on a personal level, for me, pride is a bit of a juxtaposition because it's a time when at my core I can celebrate who I am without restraints and constraints of societal pressure. But it's also a painful reminder of a lifetime of shame, stigma, harassment, and vulnerability. Yeah. And these things are carried with me, you know, throughout my life, but I think I continue to shed them as I age. And pride is knowing that it's okay to be myself, even as the invalidation continues to this day. Mm-hmm. So also emotionally, it's also a time where I remember all people, but especially those closest to me who were lost to AIDS or suicide related to self-worth and things of that nature. pride is an ongoing evolution of my being. It's an opportunity for me, as an older gay male, to learn about our diverse community, to empathize and understand different segments of the LGBTQ plus community who weren't given voice or a larger place in the past. The celebrations are an honoring of love in all forms and combinations. And it's our moment to spread the light and love as far and as loudly and as proudly as we can. It's almost a collective exhalation that we're here, we exist, we love who we choose, and we are who we are intended to be. I think throughout my lifetime, being able to bear witness to how things have changed over time has given me a sense of gratitude for how far we've come, and a sense of hopefulness that we'll continue to push forward until the day that we don't need a pride celebration anymore.
Mm-hmm. My shower thoughts this morning were queer Easter. So it's a coming together of family and a party, and there's like games and candy for the folks who like that. And it's also this spiritual ritual commemorating an important event. And it's a big family gathering, and sometimes that carries problems with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all goes back. I mean, basically, when you look at protests today for different rights, it basically all goes back to a brick, you know, thrown at Stonewall. And I think that needs to be remembered by, you know, younger generations, so that the history is not forgotten.
Brick and a whole lot of pennies.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right, Michael. Like, that is kind of the juxtaposition we're reminded of, like, every June. We are so grateful for this community we've built and these people that love us and how far we've come, but it is also a reminder of, like, kind of the trail of people who aren't able to make this Pride celebration this year, you know, whether that is from AIDS or police brutality or just like any of the things you mentioned. And yeah, I mean, it's easy to forget sometimes when you see Pepsi changes their logo to a little rainbow flag Pepsi. It's easy to forget that, like you're saying, the first Pride started when a black trans woman threw a brick at a cop, you know? And I think for me, it is really important, but also difficult sometimes to carry both of those truths at the same time.
I agree with you. And I'm not particularly fond of the commercialization that's sort of gotten involved. I think years ago it was much more community spirited. I mean, it still is in a way, but I don't think years and years and years ago there were floats for, you know, M&T Bank or Pepsi. You know, it was just floats of people. It was from people, different groups and different organizations.
Actual, you know, resources that would actually care about LGBT people.
Exactly. You know, it was the center or the Pride Center. It was a church. Churches. Yeah, it was things like that. So I don't know. Some of those are positive developments and some of them are negative and some of them are questionable because some of them are, you know, we put the gay flag on our logo for a month and then boom, we're gone. And here's our contribution to the Republican Party. That's going to strip us of the rights that you just celebrated. So it's a double-edged sword.
There's a blog post. I don't know if you read Joe My God. He reposts pretty much every year, a Pride story. And I'll send you the link. You can read through the whole thing, but it's about, you know, assimilationist people getting really kind of nasty about all the weird that's at Pride. And, you know, he talks about the Simpsons quote, like, we're here, we're queer, get used to it. And Lisa says, you're here every year, we are used to it. And, like, that's real, but that's also important. That's, we need to keep being here.
Yeah.
Because that can all go away. And it's okay if Pride looks different as a celebration, but ultimately, Pride isn't how anyone is changing anyone's mind ever, no matter what you do to it.
Yeah, I guess I'd be curious, and you're touching on it now, but maybe just building on that a little bit, because thanks to when I came out and the pandemic, I've only been to one Pride. And I'm going this year. Hopefully this episode comes out after I've already been to my second one. But because of that, I lack the experience. And I'm curious how you guys have seen it sort of evolve, maybe for the good and for the bad. It sounds like kind of the corporatization is a big thing that's changed recently or somewhat recently.
There is nothing on this planet that capitalism won't appropriate.
Yep.
So one of the biggest things that comes to mind, I spent a lot of years going to Buffalo Pride. And mm-hmm. when I first started going, it was exactly what Michael and I were talking about. It was church groups. It was the gay bars. All of the places you'd be welcome. You'd see some, Rainbow Democrats. I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah, different coalitions.
They'd
yeah.
certainly be there, you know, signing up voters.
Mm-hmm.
And one or two people might be marching in the parade, but it wasn't. It didn't feel empty. It was people who were going out of their way to be there because it wasn't common yet to be there. And then once we got all that stuff at the water, they were kind of like pushing everything that always happened in Buffalo. Like, okay, well, it's all going to happen there now. And I don't know what goes into that decision, but that was around the time when I started seeing, well, you know, you can make a donation on your way in. And it was billed on the website as an optional donation. But when you get there, they were not letting people in if they didn't donate.
Oh, wow.
And then I think the language may have changed since I stopped paying attention. So I don't know if they, you know, now that there's an admission fee, but mm-hmm. Pride with an admission fee is not Pride.
I love that. I need a t-shirt that says that I can wear to Pride.
Yeah.
Not a bad t-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think along with that, I think I would just add that some of those things like gay bars in particular, because of the more modern age, there's much, much less of them. So, you know, Pride celebrations in different communities, there are communities now that don't have a gay bar.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have a float from 10 gay bars in this town because there's not 10 gay bars in this town. There might only be one or none because that's mm-hmm. not the primary way that people meet anymore. And that goes into a whole other forming of community problem that I think kind of exists a little bit out there. It's hard to form community when there isn't a space for it. And I know a bar is not necessarily forming community, but it is a place to meet.
Sometimes it is.
And sometimes yeah. it is. But it is a place to meet, you know, and there aren't that many spaces, if any, where you can just gather and meet, and, you know, talk and drink or whatever.
Yeah.
I would absolutely listen to an entire podcast episode about how queer people of different ages form community. Throwing that out there.
Well, I guess I'm taking notes on that. Actually, let me genuinely write that down.
Because there's a lot of different ways and they have different drawbacks. People have more than one choice now, but also that means like everyone isn't all in the one spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I've been to gay bars with straight people, and we need these spaces because how else will we meet someone? And when we're in this safe space and we want to approach someone interested in some sort of relationship or whatever it might be, and we get that answer, it's like it promotes that isolation that I think a lot of queer people feel of like you are the only one. You know, and that's not true, but when you're even at a gay bar and people are giving you that answer, it can feel that way.
I straight people in gay bars is a whole thing. but for sure, you know, I've taken, is this true? Yes, I have taken straight friends to a gay bar, but they knew whose house they were in.
Yeah.
They were good guests.
Yeah. Like you're a guest, be a good ally, good accomplice in this space.
Well, yeah, because some people just go in, you know, as a novelty, or you have people going in to, you know, have a, you know, all girls party or something to watch mm-hmm. a drag show or something. And it's sort of an invasion of that space that you were talking about.
I was very conflicted. I was invited to a bachelorette party.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, a bachelorette party.
I was not the only gay man at this bachelorette party. We were good friends with the bride. And it was a bar crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have gay men in the party, is it creepy and weird like a bachelorette party in a gay bar normally is if you go to the gay bars, or is it inclusive because you're spending some time in places where these people are also comfortable? And it happened once, we did it. I've kind of stopped dissecting the morality of it, but it was, you know, there's the simple version where I've also seen, and it's like, I roll my eyes and like, oh my God, you're taking up so much space. But sometimes there's like extra complications with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not, I think the questions of like allyship and what that looks like are not, they don't have easy answers, unfortunately, but you know bad allyship when you see it. So,
yeah.
I think the only bullet point I didn't get to, and it relates to some of what we talked about, is that one of the things I really love about queer people is reinvention. That it's often very specifically out of necessity, but when you've been forced to question tradition because tradition says you're doing it wrong, you're willing to question a lot more traditions too. And I kind of love to see what comes out of that. I'd love to see how that may continue to shape pride in the future.
Yeah. Once you realize that like heteronormative culture is a construct, then it's like, what else is a construct? And
everything else.
It's a good gateway into anti-capitalism and other more radical work, I'd say.
Or not, but at least you've examined it and made a decision instead of, so it's really good self-authorship, to throw some student development in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you, Clayton. Thank you.
What is your name?
Brooklyn.
How do you identify in the LGBTQI+ community?
Ally.
And then what are your pronouns?
Hershey.
And then how old are you?
8.
What does pride mean to you? Like, why do you want to celebrate pride?
Why did you want the pride flag?
To tell everybody that they're safe at my house, no matter what they are.
So you put up a pride flag at your house to show people that they're safe coming over to your house no matter who they love?
Yes, I did.
And was there someone who taught you this, or did you come up with this on your own? Did you always know this growing up?
I don't think anybody taught me this.
So you just came up with it on your own that you want to celebrate and don't necessarily want to push hate onto anyone, no matter who they want to love and or be with?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you were really looking forward to for Pride Month? Since you said you wanted to put up the flag, were you really looking forward to it?
Yeah. I wanted to celebrate about 2 people.
And who are those 2 people?
Elsie and Heather.
And why do you want to celebrate them?
Because they're part of the community.
And then how do you know these 2 people?
We're friends.
Friends?
Mm-hmm.
So you would say that was a big thing that you were waiting for Pride Month, is to celebrate them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As being 8 years old, you feel like you're very engaged in the LGBTQ culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, thank you for answering some of these questions. And I'm glad that you can sit here and have this conversation with me, being how young and accepting you are.
It just looks weird to just stare at each other and be so serious.
I told you didn't have to be serious.
Hi, I'm Connor. I'm a 20-year-old queer man. I use he, them pronouns. Pride to me is about 3 different things: history, openness, and respect. Having pride is recognizing and being open about the strides that have been made within our community and the people who helped us get there. I'm proud of those who fought and stood up for me, and I give thanks to the marginalized communities who continue to be discriminated against. More specifically, I'm proud of the Black and brown people who pioneered the fight for LGBTQ+ rights and continue to face disproportionate discrimination outside and inside the community. Having pride is being able to be open and, more importantly, unashamed of your queerness. I am proud to be queer, and I don't feel like this is a secret that must be kept from people. I am proud to make my identity known when others are uncomfortable with queerness. I am proud to be one of millions and millions of queer people existing and continuing to make these identities as ubiquitous as straightness. And having pride is about having respect. Having respect for those who have been able to overcome their fears and be comfortable with their identity. Having respect for those who aren't ever able to make their identity known based on fear of persecution. Having respect for those who don't even know who they are yet. Having respect for those who have grown and changed identities through their growth. I'm proud to love, respect, and do what I can to help anyone in these groups and everyone else in the LGBTQ plus community who shows the same respect and love for those in the community. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. I wanted to thank everyone so much for listening, and I wanted to, in particular, thank everyone who participated in this project. All of your perspectives are so valuable, and all of our conversations were just so insightful for me, and I'm so grateful that each of you trusted us to share your story and that you were open to sharing on a platform like this with others. I think sharing our stories is one of the most important things that we can do as queer people. So thank you very much. Alfie, any closing thoughts as my co-host?
I definitely think that at the end of the day, don't let your pride-themed media stop here. Go watch movies, TVs, other podcasts, watch YouTube videos, even just listen to pride-themed music, something. Mm-hmm. Don't let your celebration or activism stop with this podcast.
Love it. And if you're looking for movie recommendations, I will plug the Terry Talks podcast, which is another podcast I have where I talk about movies, TV, and pop culture with my brothers, but then also a bunch of different guests. And Alfie and I are going to try and do a RuPaul's Drag Race episode soon, depending on how quickly we can get through the last however many seasons we have left. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, like Alfie said, explore more. Don't let pride end on June 30th.
Pride can be all year round.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
It's just going to be awkward silence.